it's nice to finally get the chance to sit down with you one-on-one. Got to meet you, what was it? That's 2 weeks ago at this point, at Bitcoin 2025. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It's just been, honestly, it's been crazy since that. There's been a lot of motion in the crypto space. And then we saw with Trump and Elon feuding and like crypto all over the place. But in terms of what you do, as far as I know you have an X account and you have a YouTube channel, but I'm interested to know like a little bit more about that. Like, how did you get into crypto? How did you get to where you are working for the company that you're working for? And on top of all that, like, what was your background before crypto? So if you want to dive into that a little bit.
No, sure. So my name is William. I'm 30. I turned 32 years old this year. So I've been in crypto since I was 27, I think, or 28. Yeah. I got in right around like, I knew of Bitcoin and Ethereum back in the day. I didn't really do anything with it, but I got in right around like 2020. So, but before that, what was it? I'm trying to think. I'm like trying to go through my life now, like the Rolodex of my life.
It's tough, man.
I know, right? So I got out of high school. I moved up to Tallahassee, where I am now, Tallahassee, Florida, in 2014. I went to college, kind of screwed around and just like worked a couple full-time jobs. Didn't really do anything really until around 2016, 2017, I would say. That's when I really got into finance. So I got into trading. I downloaded Robinhood. It became really popular. Started day trading for a while. And of course, that ended up just about as well as you think it would, terribly. did that for like 3 years, kept like really failing, trying to figure out how to like work this whole trading thing. And then like around year four or five, I really figured it out and I started, building a portfolio. So I got pretty decent at it, built a decent portfolio. And then, 2020 happens, COVID hits, I quit my job. I go back to school. Cause at this point I just got my bachelor's degree in criminology. And I decided to go back to school and get my master's, thinking that this would like, you know, upgrade my life somehow. I met a lot of cool people. Overall, I wouldn't recommend doing it. the networking was great. The stuff I learned wasn't like jaw dropping. I could have learned it online. But what it did allow for me to do was really change my life. Like COVID allowed me to turn my life around, tremendously. And one of those things was I got into Twitch streaming. So I got, I'm a really big gamer. I love video games. Been playing them since I was a child. Majority of my life, I played lots and lots of video games.
What game did you primarily stream?
I streamed was a lot of Call of Duty. I was really big into first person shooters. Oh, nice. I still kind of am. I did a lot of Warzone because that came out around that time. I did lots of Warzone with some friends of mine. It was a lot of fun. But I met a lot of really cool people through Twitch. And two of these people happened to be musicians. And their names are Mella and Buck, and their boyfriend, girlfriend. Well, they're engaged now, getting married soon. Awesome. Congrats to you too. But by then, they were just two musicians who would stream their music. They would just play live shows on Twitch. And or one day, I was in their chat. I was in their stream, and they had just got raided. And mind you, at this point, I'm still trading here and there, but I'm not like really into crypto. I know what Bitcoin is. I know what Ethereum is, but I didn't really understand them. And so at this point in my life, I was still just trading stocks and like, you know, kind of managing a fully stock and like kind of portfolio there. At this point, I was watching Mella and Buck, you know, do their usual nightly stream, and they get raided by this gentleman named Kobe. I don't know if you know who Kobe is. He's a really big personality on Twitter.
That sounds really
good. Yeah, he's kind of like a shit poster on Twitter, but he's a very, okay, very large account on Twitter, and he was like a really big Ethereum bull back in the day and made a lot of money on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so his whole pastime on Twitch during this like COVID time was to basically raid random musicians like Twitch channels with his followers. And so my friends had typically had like an audience of 30 to 60, and he raided, and now they had 6,000 people watching them live.
Wow.
And yeah, and they were freaking out. And what Kobe's audience decided to do was get them to download MetaMask because they're all into crypto.
Wow.
And so I'm watching my friend download MetaMask, and I have no idea what MetaMask is, mind you. I'm like brand new. I just know of crypto. I don't really know about crypto at this point in my life. And all of a sudden, they get donated $250,000
over the course of the stream.
Yeah, live on stream. Like, my friends are crying and everyone's like, you know, what's your wallet address? I want to send you money. And people just sent them a ton of tokens. And so my friends, like, I got to watch this live and it was so cool. And I was like so bewildered. And it was really magical. It was a magical moment for me because I was like, wow, like, so this is the power of crypto. I was like, this is like you can send capital to people like instantaneously.
Yeah.
And it just like finally clicked for me and this light bulb turned on. And I said, what is this crypto thing? I got to get in. And so I downloaded MetaMask. I got into the whole NFT craze. I met a lot of different communities, tried to really find my footing for about a year or two. Then we had the crazy bear market and I had to really reevaluate my priorities. And so I was like, okay, well, do I want to keep doing this crypto thing or do I want to like, is there like a real use case for this stuff, you know? And then all of a sudden I discovered D-Pins. I discovered real world assets. I discovered those two things. And I was like, wait a minute, like, you know, this makes a lot of sense. This is a real use case for this technology. And then I learned more about stablecoins, of course. I learned more about just like what makes Bitcoin truly special and yada, 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 and so on and so forth. And I really fell in love with this part of the sector. I just became enthralled with like educating people about D-Pins and like helping them understand what this is. So that's pretty much kind of where I started and how I got to where I am now. Currently what I do is I try to make a bunch of educational content about D-Pins, about tokenized assets. I try to make educational content about finance as well, investing. I do that on my YouTube and TikTok primarily now. On my Twitter, I make like edutainment videos, I call them, about D-Pins and tokenized assets. That's pretty much what I primarily do. And then on the side, I run a D-Pin deployment business. So I have Helium hotspots deployed as well as some geode nets. And then the third thing I do is a spaces host for Wolf Financial. So I host Twitter spaces with Wolf Financial. So that's pretty much how I got to what, you know, in the crypto, where I started from and where I'm at now.
So I'm interested to hear more about Wolf Financial, but one thing I thought was interesting that you mentioned about D-Pin and getting into D-Pin, I'm noticing that everyone in the crypto space that is involved in D-Pin, it's almost as if we found it accidentally. It's different than the traditional like finding Bitcoin. Although most people that get into crypto get into it by word of mouth. It's you saw firsthand experience with your friends that got donated that large amount of capital. And that kind of sent you down this slippery slope of cryptocurrency. And then on top of that, it's like D-Pin is another road on this journey that a lot of us have fallen into, especially all the people probably watching this. All the people that I interact with usually on a daily basis, they're mostly D-Pin people. And it's this idea of finding a use case for something that, like, let's say I were to talk to somebody that is so anti-crypto, you can explain D-Pin to them and for most people, they actually understand it, which I really like about that. It definitely is changing the landscape of the whole thing. So I'm interested to hear more about Wolf Financial because I didn't know that you worked for them until I met you in Vegas. So I'm curious how that whole thing went down.
Honestly, it was thanks to D-Pins. So I became kind of a voice in the D-Pin space accidentally. I didn't mean to be this person, I guess you could say. I just felt there was a need. There was this thing. There was this need inside of me that this need I saw in the market of education, of understanding what this thing is. And there wasn't anyone doing it. There wasn't a lot of people making content about D-Pins. And so I was like, wait a minute, like I need to start, you know, shouting from the heavens what this thing is. And so I got in a lot of Twitter spaces. I kept talking about D-Pins there with a lot of the crypto degen crowd. And they started kind of understanding. And because of Twitter spaces, Wolf Financial found me when they were trying to build out their Wolf crypto wing. And they said, hey, you know, we have a couple of, D-Pin clients we're working with. We would love it if you became a spaces host. They liked how I handled myself on the stage. They liked how, and I'm quoting them here, but they said that they liked how joyous I was, knowledgeable, and professional simultaneously. They're like, hey, like you're just a degen enough to have fun, but you're also someone who carries himself very professionally and also knows what they're talking about. And I was like, and they're like, oh, that's really rare to find. So we want to work with you. I said, heck yeah. So here I am. I do two spaces with them. I host the Dabba Network space every Wednesday at 3 p.m. And then I host the Flux space with them on Thursdays at 11 a.m. And those are the two things I knew now. So they just found me through Twitter Spaces. Like, we wanted to kind of get this thing going and figure out what we could do with DPIN Twitter Spaces. And here we are.
Yeah. I think X has been a pivotal platform for DPIN over these past couple of months. So pretty much since Elon bought it and introduced Spaces and all of this stuff, it has really shaped into this. It goes anywhere from being a complete DGEM platform to one of the most educational tools out there. Like, it's incredible. And the fact that you're having these spaces that most people probably haven't even heard about, but they are really educational, and I would definitely suggest you guys check them out. Is that Eastern time the times you're talking about?
Yes, Eastern time. Yep, the Wednesday 3 p.m. Eastern, Thursday 11 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. So I'm curious, with working with Wolf, would I call them Wolf Financial or Wolf Crypto at this point?
So Wolf Financial is the parent company, and Wolf Financial, what they primarily do is work with TradFi institutions. Okay. Like, they're like the number one marketing firm for TradFi. So people who don't understand what TradFi is, traditional finance, is kind of like the, you know, short acronym for it. So anything like, you know, institutions who are IPOing on Wall Street and such, like, they'll work with them. Or even like ETF product offerings. Like, I know they have some spaces with YieldMax. I don't know if you know YieldMax is, but they
sounds familiar. Yep.
Yeah, they have a lot of ETFs on the market, like the MSTI ETF. So they have all of that. So they work with them on spaces right now. So they're pretty much like number one marketing firm for TradFi, for a lot of the Wall Street institutions, which is awesome. But they wanted to branch out into more crypto stuff because they cover Bitcoin on that channel, but they don't really cover a lot of crypto stuff. And so they decided to break up the Wolf brand into the different sectors. So they have Wolf Sports. They have Wolf Trading, which focuses on trading a lot. And they have, like, you know, live trading spaces. And then they have Wolf Crypto, which talks about pretty much everything Bitcoin, DPIN, tokenized assets, DeFi, you name it. And so that was the reasoning behind that, was to kind of, you know, give these new, like, kind of subsidiary brands, their own identity in a sense, and split up audiences and whatnot.
Yeah. That's really nice, trying to capture the whole market there.
Pretty much. Yeah. And they're really smart. Like, I talked with the CEO, Gav. He's a really, really smart dude, really savvy guy. The whole team is just full of amazing people. So, one thing I really like about Wolf is that they're fun to work with. Like, they're light, they're easygoing. We jab at each other. We're always joking around, but we're also really smart. We're really driven, and so we like to have that kind of fun environment. But at the same time, everyone knows, like, hey, listen, like, we're gonna get, you know, shit done this week. And it's like, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That kind of leads me into the next question, which is, do you think that Wolf Financial has kind of changed the way or shaped your view in the crypto space?
Yes and no. I think Wolf Financial itself has given me a really cool, or has given everyone really a really cool microscope into a lot of these TradFi institutions, because I feel like a lot of traditional financial institutions, you don't really know who's running the show. Like, you don't really get connected to founders, you know, you don't get connected to CEOs or executives really, because you don't know who they are. They're not talking a lot on, you know, on socials. And so what I like that Wolf Financial does is they get these people in the spotlight, like in the limelight, and you can get to know them more, like the team behind these companies. And that's the Wolf Financial kind of effect, I call it right now. Because, you know, in crypto, we're used to it. We're used to knowing the founders. We're used to talking to Mike Horton from GeoNet. You know, we're used to talking to Amir from Helium. And because they're always on socials, they're kind of born here on Twitter. Whereas TradFi is kind of like looking at Twitter and saying, oh, that's neat. Like, they weren't born here, though. And so I think Wolf Financial is really cool for kind of bringing them here into the spotlight for us to talk about or talk to. But in terms of kind of my view on crypto, not necessarily. My view of crypto has evolved over time with just the new information I've received, like, throughout, like, just like anyone else, really. Like, the more research I do, the more that happens in the space, the more I start writing off a lot of stuff. Like, you know, meme coins, for instance. Yeah, they're fun. I wrote them off a long time ago. NFTs as well. NFTs, I think they have a place in society. I think they're going to be used in certain technologies, but not the way we think they are. Because a lot of these NFTs back in the day, they tried to build a brand, and building a brand is very hard. Building a brand new IP is extremely hard. And so, yeah, you get the Pudgy Penguins, and yeah, you get the Azukis, but I would say, one, they worked really hard to do that, but two, they, you know, there is a luck factor in there that they, you know, they really took off and became their own IP, and that's why they're successful. Whereas, you know, 99% of NFTs aren't really anything anymore. And so that's, I don't know. I would say my view of crypto has changed with time more so than what Wolf has produced. But I do like that Wolf Financial as a changing TradFi in a sense.
Yeah, I agree. That is a very good, they're kind of bridging the gap between crypto and DeFi and everything with TradFi with bringing those CEOs on, and it gives them more of a, they might not even realize that how much it's actually helping their company for like the younger generation, because this is how we function. Like, we like to see the face behind the company. We don't like all these closed doors. And I think just bringing them out, seeing what they're capable of, it's definitely a step in the right direction. And I also agree with what you were saying about just time in the space has changed how you feel about things. I completely agree with that. I remember when I first got into things back in 2017, 2016, I was looking at probably on maybe Cointelegraph or some site that might not even be up right now, basically like price estimations, like, oh, Bitcoin's going to hit 250,000 by 2025. Litecoin's going to hit, you know, 10,000. And you kind of learn quickly once you're in this space that a lot of these articles and a lot of things that you see people posting is mostly just clickbait. It's the same as you would see with,
yep,
with YouTube back when clickbait mm-hmm. was just huge in the early days of YouTube. It's kind of found its way into crypto, and it's slowly disappearing, but there's definitely just a lot of content out there that's just like fluff. Like, it's not actually anything educational. Yeah,
and I feel like that's just the power of social media. Yeah. Like, you're going to have lots of people post things they don't understand or don't know about. Or like I see Deepin posts all the time that are like, oh, look, I make $300 a week using grass. And I'm like, bro, that's a lie. Stop posting that. Like, what are you talking about?
Impossible.
Yeah, exactly. And unless you have like, and grass is a whole
situation. They're like withholding their airdrops, but
yeah, exactly.
We'll stay out of that for now. So you got into crypto in early 2020. I'm curious to know, are you willing to share one of your mistakes that you made? Because I know I got quite a few of them, but one of the biggest mistakes you made, and what did you learn from it?
The biggest mistake I made in crypto was believing in a lot of the hype around certain things, because it was a fancy, you know, shiny new thing, this new technology. And so when I heard of a new DeFi protocol or of a new NFT collection promising, you know, XYZ, I would quickly jump on board and go, oh, wow, this is gonna be the next new thing. Holy crap, I'm so bullish, without really asking the counter arguments like I normally would. Because in stock trading, like, there's a lot of, you know, you get a lot of news coming at you. And so what I would used to do is I would like decipher, you know, okay, this company, they make X amount of revenue, or like, you know, or I would look at the charts and say, okay, like, here's a reason I would trade it, here's a reason I wouldn't. But I threw that out when I got into crypto, because I got so excited with the tech and I was like, oh, look at this, I discovered this cool thing that like not a lot of people know about. Oh my goodness, the opportunity is huge. And so I would say, yeah, the biggest mistake I made was rushing in without asking questions, like honest questions and being honest with myself, which, you know, when the bear market hit, the 2021 bear market, 2022 bear market, it whooped my butt. Let's just say it made me sit back and realize, oh, wait a minute, like, maybe I should be asking these questions. And I started doing that. And that's when, you know, I discovered tokenized assets and Deepin, which was great. But I feel like everyone kind of falls on their face at some point, and I it's all about how you kind of learn from it and get back up. And so I was thankful enough to not leave the space and just kind of reassess and reevaluate and come back to it with an actually stronger conviction than I had before.
100%, I agree. I think I had a very similar experience. I got into a bunch of the EVMs when I guess it was BNB became big, and then Avalanche, Polygon, Phantom. There was just a ton of them, and basically I wanted to go on the exchanges like PancakeSwap, that was blown up, and just kind of get on an exchange from every single EVM, every single coin, and own a token from that decentralized exchange or whatever you may call it, a DEX. And that was definitely a big mistake for me, 100%. And I know it's tough for most people to accept defeat and actually pick themselves back up. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we're still here. I have friends that got into Helium and they ended up losing some money, or they didn't sell when Helium was like $50 and they're upset about it. And they just kind of gave up on crypto. And it sucks to see, because if they would have stayed in the space at the same time as I have, as long as I have, they would have been in a much better position. But you obviously can't see in the future. So it's one of those things where you just kind of live and learn.
Well, yeah, they can't see the forest from the trees, you know, that's the one thing I love about DPIN so much, is that when you truly understand it, or even Bitcoin, like when you truly get it, when you truly understand why this is like, this tech is so fascinating, when you understand money and when you understand technology like this, like it really starts clicking, you know, and it's almost like when people, you know, make fun of stable coins. People make fun of like the fact that, oh yeah, stable coins, like they're not so fantastical, but it is. It really is one of like the best products that crypto's ever come up with outside of DPINs.
Yeah. Especially coins with that Circle IPO.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like you're seeing the demand for it in real time thanks to Circle IPOing and having an amazingly successful IPO. And so like stable coins inherit into themselves are just fantastic vehicles for capital velocity. Like they make money better, essentially. They make the US dollar more effective. And when people understand that, they say, oh wow, like this truly has a use case. And they look at, you know, everything that it affects, as opposed to just looking at number go up, number go down.
We could definitely have a whole podcast episode on stable coins, because I know a lot of people would actually be interested in hearing about why. Like I have friends that are asking, why would I pick a stable coin over just cash? And there's so many reasons I can get into to explain it, but maybe we can put a pin in that and save that for a future episode if you like.
I'd be more than happy to, yeah.
Awesome. So moving forward, just trying to keep the ball rolling here, what trends or shifts in the crypto space are you most excited about right now? And I think I already know the answer to that, but how do you see the industry evolving in the next 5 to 10 years? I think nobody would have expected 5 years ago to be where we are at today. So, I mean, give me your bullish case and your bearish case.
Bullish case, I foresee in the next 5 to 10 years that the industry is more legitimized. We see a lot more institutions knowingly, publicly adopt crypto, and they are, you know, they start touting crypto. Essentially, they start saying, oh, look at us, we have crypto technology, we have blockchain technology, we have quicker transactions, we have quicker settlement times, we have cheaper transactions, cheaper, you know, wire times, essentially. And that's where we're gonna start seeing it in the banks, we're gonna start seeing in traditional finance, we're gonna start seeing it everywhere. Essentially, it's gonna become a part of everyday life. It's gonna be totally normal. Stable coins will become the de facto US dollar at that point. And it's all going to be hunky-dory, right? That's my bullish case. That's my hope, at least, right? And I think that, you know, obviously bear case, like none of that happens. We have this meme coin casino like trend continue onward, and we see this industry kind of for lack of a better word, just be, you know, taken lightly and looked at as a joke. Like people will just look at us as a joke still and say, oh, that's a casino, that's all scams, yada yada yada. I think the right answer is somewhere in the middle. I've said this before, but I think we talked about it in Vegas, but I foresee crypto and blockchain becoming more like JavaScript than, you know, anything else. Like I think that it becomes an everyday part of life, whereas like people interact with crypto every day, but they don't really think about it because it's all in the background. And they just say, oh, like, you know, I'm on a website, I'm logging onto an app, I'm logging onto a website that's all powered by JavaScript and React, but they don't think about it like that. They don't say, oh, I'm going on my Google Chrome, which is powered by this. Like they don't, exactly. Like you just want to use an app that works, right, as a person. And so what I think is everyday retail people, everyday normal person will interact with crypto on a daily basis via stable coins or DPINs or something like that. They won't even know it. It'll just become a part of normal everyday life. Whereas you have TradFi and finance as a whole, global finance, be changed by crypto for the better. Basically, you know, reducing inefficiencies, making transaction speeds faster, settlement times quicker, cutting out a lot of the middlemen that have plagued the space quite a bit. I know that a lot of traditional financial institutions that I spoke with recently, they were talking about how they're just excited to be able to cut out a ton of the bureaucracy and bloat. Whereas some of it's very necessary, like they have stop gaps that are very necessary, that can, you know, stop horrible things from happening or huge mistakes from happening. But when you have 10 middlemen, it'd be nice to cut out five of them, right? And save some money and time. So that's kind of like my future outlook for the space is that, you know, it's again, TradFi is going to use it and tout it and they're going to be like really public with it. Whereas retail and just regular everyday people won't even know they're interacting with it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where we're headed. And we've talked about this quite a few times on episodes of stuff that hasn't been released yet. But I totally agree. And I think, honestly, even your bearish case is seeing, it seems less and less likely that that's actually going to happen because I would arguably compare the meme coin phase right now to the NFT phase and how it kind of just went away after a little bit. It is still around here and there, but it definitely doesn't have the impact that it does now that it did back then. And I really hope that is the case because I think meme coins, while they are good, they're fun. It gets a lot of people in the crypto that probably wouldn't be in it before because it's kind of like gambling and a lot of people like doing that. It does have a lot of downfalls. It does hinder the space. It does make the space seem less legitimate. So I really hope that stuff kind of starts to fade away. And I think we kind of hit the peak of that. I haven't been seeing as many meme coin stuff as I have probably in like January, February, or maybe even November. But it's definitely still very apparent.
That's the nice thing about our space is that we move so fast. Like we move very, very fast. We go through cycles and we say, oh, this works, this works, this works. Oh, it doesn't work anymore. All right, move on. Like, you know, it's just that's one thing I do appreciate about how fast we move compared to the rest of the world, because we just go through it, man. We munch and eat a bunch of information and we like, you know, we sit on it for like a month. And then like, obviously, as you know, a month in crypto is like years, it feels like.
Yes, it is rapid acceleration.
It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. So it allows us to like test out new ideas. And like if they're bad, they will quickly fade. If they're good, they will last and stick around.
I think also the nice thing about crypto is there's no country lines that kind of separate us. Yes, there are certain laws within each country, but it's like we're all kind of working together as an entire world to build something great. And it's all in the interest of just like evolving as a people. So I'm curious, because now we're starting to see a lot of people in DC lobbying for crypto and trying to get all these bills passed. What do you think some of the biggest challenges facing the crypto industry are today? And how do you see these challenges being overcome? I guess you kind of already answered this with the meme coins, but do you have anything else that you think is worthy of mentioning?
Yeah, I think crypto still has a huge perception issue. I know you, me, and Brad discussed this about that article.
Yes.
Recent article. And it's so super accurate. There's a huge perception issue still, whereas we're not seen as legitimate. And so when you are operating a crypto business, it's really hard to get customers or do business with other people who aren't in crypto because they don't understand it and they're very scared about what they don't understand. People are fearful of what they don't understand. And so, you know, as a deep end deployer, you, me, and Brad and Tyler and everyone else, Suburban Crypto and such, we have to go and talk to regular everyday people all the time. And it's really hard when you bring up the token, when the token talk finally comes up. I call it the token talk, you know, like, oh, the birds and the bees. The token talk comes up and then they start saying, wait, token, what do you mean token? And they get like kind of confused.
They just shut down.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And so it's there's a huge, huge disconnect with the value that like especially we in DPINs are offering, like the value play and kind of this infrastructure we're building out and what crypto is. And so I think, you know, down the road that roadblock hopefully becomes a bit less of a hurdle after we start separating DPIN from crypto, what crypto is known as, or the entire perception issue of crypto starts fading or starts changing to be more positive. So I think that's the biggest hurdle we're facing right now. Regulation wise, I mean, we're looking good. This current administration is very favorable. We have several bills in the works that I hope, you know, pass. We're seeing strategic reserves for Bitcoin pass left and right. And so I feel like, you know, everything's looking up on that front. And institutions are finally in. They understand, you know, that they're the permanent bid for Bitcoin has been established by BlackRock, you know, and all these other companies. So Bitcoin below $60,000 is probably never going to happen again because of them. And so,
yeah, it's crazy that that is a sentence that can be said.
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's wild to think about, but yeah, we have the institutions on board, we have the government on board, we just don't have the people on board. And so the rest of culture, the rest of society that is just so against this technology still because they're very scared of it. They don't understand it. And honestly, I think that stems from a lack of understanding of finance and understanding of money and velocity of money and global liquidity and global access to money and sending funds abroad and yada. And like people don't understand all that stuff. And so they're very scared of that because they just think of money as, oh, it's in my bank account. I earn a paycheck every 2 weeks, you know? And it's you can't tell them, hey, you can own your own money. Like you can own your own finances in a crypto wallet. You don't have to have a bank anymore.
A lot of these people don't even know how to pay their own credit card.
Exactly. So how are you going to tell them how to use a blockchain or how to like, you know, that crypto is good for them when they can't pay off their own credit cards and they're drowning in a ton of debt, right? So I think there's a huge perception issue because people have a lack of understanding of money, finance, et cetera. But also just, you know, like that kind of leads into crypto, of course. So that's the hurdle I think we have to get over is the perception issue.
Yeah, definitely. And I think honestly, in general, just I would hope that the United States, but obviously the whole world, like they just need to kind of like understand finance a little bit better. I mean, it runs the world. It surprises me how many people I talk to about finances and stuff, especially in my industry, you know, being an accountant and everything. They just don't understand finance. And I don't go around saying like I'm this financial guru. I'm by no means, you know, intelligent in stocks and everything, but I definitely dabble in the crypto space with my channel, with this podcast and everything. And it's still just like it's frightening kind of to see these people that just don't really care about finances. Like they'll keep their money in a checking account that doesn't even earn interest. And with the inflation rates the way they are right now, you're rapidly losing money. Or they'll keep it in a savings account that has like 0.1% interest. And I talk to them. I'm like, what are you doing?
So that stems from like a lack of, so that, again, it's a perception issue, but it's also, it's a lack of understanding of money, like we talked about. But the second part, and I feel very strongly about this because I've lived amongst a lot of these people my whole life. Like I come from a very, I would say my childhood was not the greatest. I come from a very, you know, I would say poor background initially. And I grew up around a lot of these people and I still am friends with a lot of these people. And a lot of it stems from hopelessness. One, you don't understand money. And two, you're not incentivized to because you're drowning in despair. Like you are poor. There's no way out. You don't see a way out. And so what do? You distract yourself with entertainment and drugs and whatnot. And just like going out and just like, you know, trying to keep yourself, your mind occupied long enough to just make it to like the end of your life.
As or depressing to the next as that sounds.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is just, you know, it sucks to see because I try to educate these people constantly and they don't care. They just do not. They are so despondent that they don't see a way out. And like I saw Alex Finn's tweet recently about like, oh, if you don't learn AI skills, you're going to get left behind. And I said, Alex, good luck, you know, teaching AI to the South Georgia, you know, blue collar worker. And he's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, dude, they don't care about this stuff. They don't trust it. They don't trust any of this. Like they want to go have beers with the boys on Friday night and they want to drive their tractors throughout the week. And they just want to like hang out with their boys and like that. And they want to work outside and they don't want to do anything else. And he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, well, no, of course it does. Like you have to live with these people to understand them. Like you, it makes so much sense. It's the culture they're ingrained in. Yeah, so they're not. They think everything's a scam. It's all a cult, or it's all like a conspiracy, and they're just going to sit there and do that. They're going to sit there and blame it on the government and the world, as opposed to learning this stuff themselves, because that's just who they are, unfortunately. So, it sucks to see, certainly.
Yeah, especially with people that you know you love and care about. It's but crypto aside, just like finances in general. Me being as young as I am, even though I am getting older, yeah, every
14,
day.
You're 14, right?
No, but I mean, I started this space, I started in this space when I was 17 and now I'm 25. So it's been
so crazy.
Quite a long. Yeah, I know.
It's such a baby.
Quite a long journey. And
have your knees started hurting yet?
Yeah, actually, I think I might've tore a ligament in my leg, but that was for athletic reasons. And I never really got it checked out. It definitely hurts when I sit on planes and whatnot. So let's shift to a positive note, because I kind of got a little dark there for a second.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, with Wolf Crypto, Wolf Financial, or just you, is there anything new or exciting that you are working on that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I have been cranking out a bunch of new kind of options trading content, as well as some Bitcoin and crypto content on TikTok, as well as YouTube. Started cranking out shorts just because I figured, why not? I'm already making video content for Twitter, and started cranking out those. And those seem to be doing fairly well, picking up traction. I like educating people, giving them pointers and tips. So that's been nice. On Twitter, on the Twitter front, I've been pushing out more and more content around D-pins. Again, just consistently trying to entertain and educate on there. And so I just been doing lots of stuff there. More and more videos are coming out on my YouTube and my TikTok. Not my TikTok, sorry, my Twitter this week and next, as well as, you know, hopefully, you know, far into the future, trying to stay very, very consistent on that. I have several more ambassadorships I just signed on with. So I'm an ambassador, a brand ambassador for several companies as well. So I'm a brand ambassador for Ado, Daba Network, Peak, a number of D-pins, besides the Wolf, you know, Spaces hosting. On the Wolf front, we might be getting I can't say too much, but there might be a show coming out soon, revolving around crypto that I may be hosting. I may be hosting the Spaces show. Yeah, the Spaces for crypto. I guess I don't know all the details. We're talking to several clients right now.
Yeah.
But I may be hosting some form of a show in the near future.
That is very exciting. I actually have a question. This is kind of like maybe the last one on my list, but I'll pivot back because I just remembered when we were in Vegas and you were talking to Brad, deep in connection. You just started talking about all of these projects, even with your friend Andy, that I have never heard about. And they're deep in projects. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know, where do you find this information? How do you stay informed and up to date with all of these deep in projects? And aside from Deepin, how do you stay up to date with crypto in general? I know for me, like, X is my primary source, but even so, like, is it certain people that you follow, or is there certain websites? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, so when it comes to broader market moves, as well as Bitcoin specifically, I get a lot of my news from Watcher Guru on Twitter, as well as a handful of other accounts. There's like, I think his name is, oh my goodness, what is it? It's a DB, might be DB. I follow him for just like active updates on the market and Bitcoin. What else? For more D-pin specific stuff though, I usually just get a lot of my news from the space. So like I host these weekly spaces with Wolf, and I'll try to invite a lot of new projects and a lot of new people on consistently. And what that does is a couple of things. One, it allows for different perspectives to come into the conversation. So when we have a, you know, really interesting topic that week, or maybe we're talking about some current events, it's nice to have some fresh perspectives on the space. Two, it allows for networking. So now these D-pins who might have not talked to each other before can network on the space, get to know each other, and maybe they'll, you know, follow up with each other in the DMs, and maybe they'll collab or something. And it's really cool. And then three, I also get a lot of news. I get to learn about these D-pins live, you know, kind of like from the horse's mouth in a sense. And it's really cool because now I get to have them explain their project. Maybe they'll weave it into an answer of sorts. And then I can follow up on them later and DM them and say, hey, I want to learn more about your stuff. Or I can just click on their profile and kind of scroll through. So a lot of it is manual. A lot of it is, kind of hearsay on the spaces. But the majority of my news is networking. I just from everyone I talk to, you know, Deepin Connection, Unleashing Deepin, Andy, all these guys. I constantly follow their feeds, and I'm constantly, you know, looking to see what they're talking about. And, you know, I follow a lot of major Deepin accounts too. They'll make a lot of announcements and whatnot. So a majority is on Twitter, just following those specific Deepin accounts. Like if you just type in Deepin on the search bar, you can literally find so many people to follow. So I recommend doing that. That's pretty much what I do to get my Deepin news, is just do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bot on X. I don't know how to use it very well. You definitely taught me how to make better posts. And since then, like, stuff has been absolutely blowing up. I got one of my posts retweeted by Tyler Winklevoss, which was pretty insane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a Gemini post. And it got, let's see how many views it got. It got 26,000 views because he retweeted
it. Dude, that's awesome.
Yes, it was very awesome.
Happy to help you out. Heck yeah, dude.
I'm curious, do you know how to use the, on the home screen of X, somebody added me to a, it's kind of like a folder, and they added a bunch of D-pin projects or mining projects to this, and then it's on my home screen. It's like one of the tabs I can pick. I think that would be honestly be like a really good idea. If you haven't done it yet, maybe we could build something like that and share it with people, because I think that would be very helpful for the space. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about,
like an aggregator of sorts, like
I guess so. Yeah,
you should check out Tyler just built D-pin Pulse. So Unleashing D-pin just came up with this thing called D-pin Pulse. It is like they're still working on it right now. It's publicly available though. You can access the website. And you can look at like D-pin earnings on there. They've incorporated D-pin Ninja into it. So they'll have all the revenue and earnings for every D-pin project listed on there. But it'll also be a place for news and updates and everything.
Interesting. That kind of sounds like my website, but okay.
I mean, there's been a lot of them like popping up. Yeah, you know, Deep in Ninja's been around for a bit, but like, no, your site sounds awesome too. So like, I would check out, you know, I would say you should talk to Tyler and look for, you know, possible means of collabing. That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, we can talk a little bit more about this after. Wow, they got a really nice site. So yeah, all right, maybe I'll have to reach out to them.
He's blown away by the site.
Yeah. So I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me and talk about this D-pin space and just get to learn a little bit more about you, because honestly, when I met you in Vegas, I was like, I think I know you, but I'm not sure. So it's really nice to it's really has been nice to get to know you over the past 2 weeks, and I'm excited to continue. Are we friends at this point?
I think so, Chris. I think so. You know, I like to jab at my friends. I've been jamming at you a lot, so I think we are friends.
Oh, I can take it. It's fine. Yeah. So I'll definitely put all your socials in the description below. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we wrap this up?
Nothing crazy. Just, you know, if you are someone who's curious about kind of, you know, dipping your toe in and understanding this technology, by all means, you know, follow Chris here and follow a lot of other people in the space. Like, there's just so many smart people in here. If someone is shilling extra hard, be wary. If someone's just talking about tokens left and right, be wary. But you know, just because you're wary, I wouldn't say like, you know, completely shut it down. Like, go in there, do your own research, check it out. And yeah, if you are in the space already, just keep building, man. Just keep going out there, keep talking to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your community. Talk to your legislators, like, because a lot of people still don't understand this stuff. And you'd be amazed, man. Like, I talked to the Florida Senate recently, like a lot of the legislators of the Florida Capitol here, and they, all of them, pretty much most of them, had no idea about crypto or anything like that. They just don't understand it at all. And they're making rules about this stuff. So it really helps to just go out there and be a go-getter and just talk to your local legislators, talk to your community, educate them, and then get involved.
It's an exciting time, man. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'll see you all in the next episode. Peace out.